Earlier this week, we saw the rather extraordinary announcement from Prime Minister Scott Morrison that the Defence Force will now be moving into the aged care sector. Quite bizarre announcement, really. I mean, he's saying here up to 1,700 troops will be sent into aged care homes. To talk a little bit more, not just about that announcement, but more about the changing role, the changing nature of the Defence Force in Australia. It's a really interesting shift. There's no doubt been happening over many years, but let's delve a little bit into that now. Very lucky to have Hannah Taino-Spick on the line from Darwin. Now, Hannah is a lecturer in social work at Charles Darwin University. It's a pet topic of hers. In terms of what type of role does the military play and what is it meant to play and what's been happening over recent years. Hannah, tell listeners a little bit of a recap. This really, as I said, rather extraordinary announcement earlier this week by the federal government. What will these troops, the Defence Force, be doing in these aged care homes?
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. It's quite unusual and it's a very interesting move in terms of what the federal government is doing in terms of utilising and deploying the Australian Defence Force, that organised military body. From reports, what they are hoping to deploy are some skilled workers, so skilled military bodies like registered nurses and medics, so they're people in uniform. But the other really interesting thing that I picked up on the release as well is that they want to deploy other personnel. And that's probably something that really piqued my interest as well, as, you know, in terms of what does it mean by other personnel?
And I mean, are they going to be in, army fatigues, standing around at home, aged care homes? Do we know some of that detail yet?
No, I don't imagine. We don't have confirmation on, their orders of dress per se, but it'll be safe to assume that they will be in working clothes, which is your camouflage for military fatigues. And again, that's certainly something that might, be some pressing concerns for some residents or some workers there themselves.
Well, I guess it's just the image of it, isn't it? It's just the sight of, if you're in an aged care home and then there's the defence personnel suddenly walking around inside that care centre. I mean, it's just quite bizarre to picture army troops, Defence Force troops in aged care homes. It just, as you said, and will that be distressing for some of those aged care residents?
Yeah, I don't think it's a question that's really been, asked or, thoroughly answered. And, it's not to say, the only thing is that these military personnel, they'll be most likely rocking up in, military fatigues and camouflage. They won't be weaponized.
Good. Okay. I was going to say, will they have machine guns on them or not?
No. Yeah, we know that they won't be weaponized. Absolutely good. Not. But it's more the fact that you're right. It's the management, the image management of what this is going to look like. Mm. And so, again, it is quite unusual and really interesting that the federal government has moved on this rather quickly, because it raises other questions of what is the purpose of our military? What is the wider purpose of our military?
Well, it's even some of the language used in that announcement earlier this week. I think it was Monday, Prime Minister Scott Morrison talking about it'll be a Defence Force surge, using words that are traditionally associated with military conflict. And he's sort of saying that, as you said, there'll be registered nurses, there'll be medical technicians and general support. They'll be sent to aged care homes across most of Australia, in fact. A lot of it is to help with, they're saying that, there's this skilled shortage that we've heard a lot about, the skilled workers, very, very difficult to find enough staff to properly man these aged care homes. So a lot of it is about trying to plug some of those workforce gaps. Quite extraordinary move. As you said, though, it does raise those broader questions about, what exactly is our Defence Force for. Give us some examples where this perhaps has happened before in Australia, and I'm particularly keen to hear from you, being based in Darwin. I spent a bit of time at a newspaper there in Central Australia. I remember clearly the NT intervention into Aboriginal communities under then Prime Minister John Howard. That caused a huge uproar, huge ruckus when that when those Defence Force troops effectively rolled in to communities. Quite again about that image, the sight of Defence Force troops moving into communities and towns in Australia. What other examples have you got, Hannah, about where the Defence Force has gone above and beyond what we would traditionally think army troops are for?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Circling back to the intervention as, an example from the past. And it's a really good example because it's an example of, utilising the military force as to support that operation, that whole of government operation. But the intervention, as we are, especially being here in the Northern Territory, is still acutely felt. So the impacts of that is still acutely felt within the Northern Territory and, of course, within our remote Indigenous communities as well. So that's not to say, there are still issues, rolling from that. But the other thing about an example of how, the Australian military is being, utilised is that we actually see it in recent times. So we've seen it during the bushfires. And we've seen it during, the current pandemic. So, those are two very high-profile, very recent operations where the Australian Defence Force has been deployed, and I would say deployed very successfully. But that's, again, in an unusual space of what a military does. So, it's what I've been terming nation-supporting, whereas... nation supporting, that's where we've been, supporting our nation, helping to keep our nation going. Whereas in the past, we've done things like peacekeeping operations and nation building operations. And of course, our traditional war fighting roles that the military serves as well. So yeah, it is. It's an interesting space that I think is emerging, especially in these contemporary times.
If we move now then to, why is it happening? And I guess from my simplistic take on it, is it the fact that we just don't have wars happening? We don't have the conflict zones where traditionally the army or the defence force is required. So instead of, being overseas, fighting battles, there's all this spare capacity, spare time, if you like, and so they've been able to be redeployed into those, as you said, nation-supporting tasks. Is that why it's happening more and more?
Well, that's a really, really good question because, to be honest, it's actually, if we look at it a little bit more deeply, it's actually quite the opposite. So this contemporary era, so the 2000s and the era that we're living in now, has actually been the busiest. The most operationally busiest for the Australian Defence Force in its history. So there's been, the wars in the Middle East, especially in Afghanistan, for example. That's our longest conflict to date. That's even longer than the Vietnam War. So in answer to your question, is it because we're not, the Australian Defence Force isn't busy? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's more the demands that are being placed on the military that is, demanding from a more diverse, multi-skilled workforce. And so that's a really interesting question of how far removed or how much are you diversifying this particular workforce when this particular workforce, as a military, is meant to be fighting fit, not necessarily fit for purpose.
And so I guess that raises the next question for me anyway, is that is this a good thing? Do we want effectively, politicians and governments almost utilising the Defence Force for some of those more civilian tasks? I mean, the federal government, for example, has been absolutely under fire in terms of the performance of the aged care sector, the lack of funding, some of the conditions, obviously the whole COVID-19 pandemic nightmare that has ripped through aged care homes. Are they almost plugging gaps there that other departments, other people, including the private sector, should be looking after? Is this a good thing that the Defence Force is being deployed in these new, more civilian type ways?
I would say it's an interesting and unprecedented time, which is probably yes. the word of the last 2 years.
Yes.
Because, you know, obviously being unprecedented, we don't know, you know, the impacts of these decisions. However, there is obviously an urgent need. And that's, you know, that can't be shied away from. However, the interesting, you know, fact to go back to is that the only mechanism within this nation, within Australia, the only mechanism that can activate and utilise a military is actually the federal government. Mm. So no one else can, you know, ask for military support. They have to go through the government. So the government is actually, you know, utilising their privileges or their rights to activate a military. However, this hasn't really been done before in the past to plug holes into civilian spaces. Mm. And again, so, you know, it begs the question of, like, what kind of precedence is it setting? You know, is the military a fit for purpose labour workforce that for hire?
Yeah.
Or does it go back to, you know, the traditional, you know, sovereign title of defending a nation? Mm. So it's a really precarious tension at the moment. Mm.
And like you said, they are being called on to do such diverse work, as you said, from the bushfires to almost a health, you know, health support through the COVID pandemic. Now it's an aged care situation. I mean, you're sort of plugging gaps, for, you know, fulfilling support roles across a whole diverse range of tasks and roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, I don't think it's not a long-term sustainable solution, for sure. Mm. And also to think, you know, to think within the military itself, to, yes, there's, you know, there are very skilled medical personnel, like, you know, registered nurses and medical personnel, and even doctors in uniform. But it's the, and again, I go back to how other personnel have been flagged to fill those gaps as well. It's a question that I would love to see answered, of going, who are those other personnel? What sections of the military are they coming from? Are they coming from specialised health sections? Are they coming, because let's face it, there isn't an aged care.
No, that's right.
There isn't an aged care corps
in
the
right,
military. Core. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, are you taking generalised personnel from, say, for example, infantry units or combat corps units? What's the skill set that they will bring, for example?
And other questions as well about what do the actual troops think about these, you know, these deployments? Do they have a choice about whether they, you know, they signed up to be part of the Defence Force, and yet they're being, you know, shuffled around effectively into all these other sectors and all these other roles? It's raises a lot of questions. Absolutely, fascinating stuff, and no doubt will evolve over time. Hannah Tano-Spick is a lecturer in social work at Charles Darwin University. Thanks so much for your insights today.
No problem, Gavin. Thank you so much.